Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. And today we're tackling something I think a lot of us are intrigued by, especially these days, this whole idea of slow living.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit of a buzzword these days, isn't
It
it?
really is. But we're going to try to get past just the trendy surface, right? I've got some really interesting sources here that dig into the deeper meaning of slow living, where this idea comes from, how it's actually connected to some ancient philosophies you might not expect.
Exactly. We're not going to just like tell you to drink your tea slower or something, you know? We're talking about a real shift in mindset, a different way of approaching life. And
How that can impact like everything. I mean, our sources talk about the effects on our mental and physical health, our relationships, even our creativity. It's kind of wild how much this slowing down thing can affect us.
Yeah, it's like a ripple effect, you know?
Yeah.
And it is kind of ironic, right? The faster the world gets, the more we seem to crave this idea of slowing down.
It's true. So, okay, let's back up a sec. What exactly are we talking about here? When we say slow living, what does that actually mean? Because I think there are a lot of misconceptions out there.
Right, right. Like I said, it's not just about literally doing everything in slow motion. It's not about being lazy or unproductive. It's more about being intentional.
Yeah.
About choosing quality over quantity in every area of your life.
Okay, so it's a deeper thing than it might appear on the surface. But where does this whole idea come from? Is it like a new age fad, or does it have deeper roots?
Well, the term slow living might be relatively recent, but the concepts behind it have been around for centuries. You can see these ideas in ancient philosophies, like Stoicism, for example.
Oh, yeah, I remember reading a bit about that. The Stoics were all about living in harmony with nature, right? And accepting what you can't control.
Exactly. And that focus on what you can control, your own actions, your own thoughts, that's a big part of slow living as well.
So there's a sense of inner peace that comes with that, right? Not letting external stuff throw you off balance. And then there's Buddhism, which I know is all about mindfulness, right? Being present in this moment, not dwelling on the past or worrying about the future.
Yeah, and that idea of presence is huge EE in the slow living movement. It's about really experiencing each moment rather than constantly rushing to the next thing.
So just to be clear, this isn't about like rejecting technology or going off the grid or something.
No, not at all. It's about using those things mindfully, being aware of how they impact you, setting boundaries, making sure they're serving you, not controlling you.
Gotcha. So it's not about being anti-technology. It's about being more intentional with it. Makes sense. But how does this translate into actual principles? Like, what are the core pillars of this slow living thing?
Well, mindfulness is key, as we've already touched on. Being present in each moment rather than constantly rushing to the next thing.
Right. And that ties in with intentionality, doesn't it? Actually choosing how you spend your time and energy instead of just reacting to whatever comes your way.
Exactly. And along with those, we've got connection, which is huge, especially in our digital age where everyone's connected online but can feel incredibly isolated in real life.
Yeah, that's a huge paradox, isn't it? Like, we're more connected than ever, but actual human connection seems to be dwindling.
So slow living encourages us to nurture those relationships, to carve out time for meaningful interactions, both with others and with ourselves.
Oh, and I think the sources also talk about connecting with nature, right? Spending time outdoors, getting away from all the screens and distractions.
Absolutely. That connection with nature is so grounding. It helps us slow down, appreciate the simple things, tap into a deeper sense of peace. And then, of course, we can't forget about sustainability.
Right, right. Making choices that support our own well-being and the well-being of the planet. So it's not just about slowing down for the sake of slowing down. It's about aligning your life with a deeper set of values.
Exactly. And I think that's what makes this concept so appealing to a lot of people. It's about finding a way to live that feels more authentic, more meaningful, more in sync with who we really are.
I love that. But in a world that's constantly telling us to do more, be more, achieve more, WHY, should we even bother with this slow living thing? What's the payoff?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And it's a fair one, but the benefits are actually pretty remarkable.
Okay, I'm all ears. Spill the beans. What are we talking about here?
Well, for starters, we're talking about some major mental health improvements. Studies actually show that incorporating slow living principles can reduce stress, help manage anxiety, even boost your emotional resilience.
Okay, that's huge, EE, especially these days when everyone's feeling stressed and burnt out. But it's not just about feeling less stressed, right? There's more to it than that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Slow living also impacts our relationships. By being more present and intentional in our interactions, We actually become better listeners, more attuned to the needs of our loved ones. And that creates those deeper, more fulfilling connections that we all crave.
It's like we're rewiring our brains to focus on quality time, not just quantity, right?
Precisely. And then there's that counterintuitive benefit we mentioned earlier, the boost in creativity and productivity. You might think slowing down would make you less productive, but it's actually the opposite.
Wait, really? I got to hear more about this. How does slowing down actually lead to better output?
Think of it this way. When you're constantly rushing, your mind becomes like a cluttered room. There's no space for new ideas to take shape. But when you slow down, you give your mind the freedom to wander, to make those unexpected connections, to see things from a fresh perspective.
So it's like decluttering our minds, just like we might declutter our physical space to create a more peaceful environment.
Exactly. And one way we can do that is by setting boundaries, by prioritizing what truly matters, and saying no to things that drain our energy.
Okay, so we're starting to see the why behind slow living, but let's get practical. Where do we even begin to embrace this way of life?
It can be a little daunting, right? Like, where do you even start?
Yeah.
But that's where it's helpful to look at some real life examples, people who've actually incorporated slow living into their, you know, their busy lives.
Right, because I think sometimes this whole concept can seem a bit abstract, you know, like it's only for yogis and monks or something. But our sources actually have some great examples of everyday people who've made it work.
Exactly. Like, one that really stood out to me was about a CEO, like high-powered, always on, phone glued to their hand, you know the type. They were successful, but totally burnt out, stressed to the max.
So how did they make the shift? Did they just like quit their job and move to a cabin in the woods?
Well, no. And that's what's so encouraging, right? They started small. Like, instead of being chained to their desk all day, they made a point of taking short walks, you know, just to get outside, clear their head. And they started actually being present during meals, putting their phone away, actually tasting their food.
I can see how those little things would make a difference, you know, just those little pauses throughout the day. But did they see actual results from these changes?
Oh, big time. Their productivity actually went up because they were more focused, less frazzled. Their relationships with their family improved because they were more present when they were at home. They even started getting back into hobbies they'd given up, like, years ago.
It's like slow living gave them permission to reclaim those parts of themselves that had gotten lost in the hustle.
Precisely. And here's another one that I think a lot of parents out there will relate to. It's about this family who was totally caught up in that whirlwind of, you know, scheduled activities, homework battles, screen time limits, all that. They felt like they were constantly running, but not actually getting anywhere.
Oof, yeah, that feeling is way too familiar. So how did they bring slow living into their family life?
Well, they decided they needed to hit reset. So they started having tech-free family dinners. No phones at the table, just actual conversation. They also prioritized spending time outdoors together, like going for hikes, having picnics, just being in nature.
That connection with nature comes up a lot in our sources, doesn't it? It's like a key part of slowing down and being more present.
It really is. And this family, they also started encouraging more unstructured play for their kids, letting them get bored, use their imaginations.
That's a tough one for a lot of parents these days, I gotta admit. We feel this pressure to keep our kids constantly entertained and stimulated. But there's something to be said for letting them figure things out on their own, isn't there?
Totally. And the results were pretty amazing. The kids were calmer, less anxious, and more creative. The parents felt less stressed, more connected to their kids. It's a great example of how slowing down can actually enrich family life, not detract from it.
These stories are so encouraging. It's like slow living gives us permission to live more intentionally, to prioritize what truly matters. But I think it's also important to acknowledge that it's not always easy, right? Like, our sources do point out some challenges.
You're right. And I think one of the biggest ones is navigating social expectations. You know, when you start slowing down, you might get some pushback from people who are used to you operating at a certain pace.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's like they expect you to always be available, always be on the go, always say yes to every invitation.
Exactly. You might get those raised eyebrows when you say no to a last-minute party or decide to unplug for the weekend, you know. It can feel awkward, even a little isolating sometimes.
So how do you deal with that? Do you just have to become a hermit and avoid all social contact?
No, not quite. It's more about learning to communicate your choices in a way that feels authentic. You don't have to give a lecture about slow living. Just simply state your priorities. Something like, I'm trying to have some downtime on the weekends, so I'm going to have to pass this time. But thanks for thinking of me.
I like that. Setting boundaries without feeling like you have to apologize.
Exactly. And then there's the whole FOMO thing, the fear of missing out. Especially these days with social media and everyone sharing their highlight reels, it can feel like you're falling behind if you're not constantly doing.
Ugh, that FOMO is real. It's like this underlying anxiety that if you're not constantly plugged in, you'll miss out on some life-changing experience.
Right. But slow living challenges us to question that.
Yeah.
To ask ourselves, what are we really missing out on? Are those fleeting moments of excitement worth sacrificing our well-being and peace of mind for?
It's about shifting our perspective, isn't it? From focusing on what we might be missing to appreciating what we're gaining by choosing a slower, more intentional path.
Exactly. And that brings us to another important aspect, finding your tribe, you know, connecting with like-minded people, whether it's online communities, local groups, or just a few close friends who get it. That can make a huge difference.
It's that sense of community, that feeling of being understood and supported, that can really help you stay on track, especially when the world around you seems to be moving at warp speed.
And speaking of support, there are so many resources out there. One of the most powerful practices is mindfulness meditation. It's been shown to reduce stress, improve focus, increase emotional regulation.
I've heard a lot about mindfulness, but I'll be honest, I'm a bit intimidated by it. Do you need to be some kind of Zen master to do it effectively?
Not at all. You can start with just a few minutes each day, focusing on your breath, noticing the sensations in your body. There are also tons of apps and guided meditations that can make it easier.
That's good to know. I think a lot of people, myself included, have this idea that meditation has to be this big formal thing. But even just those small moments of stillness can make a difference.
Absolutely. And another simple but powerful tool is journaling. Just taking a few minutes to write down your thoughts and feelings. It helps you gain clarity, process emotions.
I love that. It's like having a conversation with yourself on paper.
And remember, slow living is not about perfection. It's about progress. It's about making small changes, experimenting, finding what works for you.
That's such an important reminder. We don't have to overhaul our entire lives overnight. Just taking those small steps, being patient with ourselves, celebrating those little wins along the way. So as we wrap up this deep dive into slow living, I'm really struck by how much there is to this idea. Like, it's not just about going slower. It's about a whole different approach to, well, to life, really.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? Like a real shift in mindset. And I'm curious, we've talked about the immediate benefits, like less stress, better relationships. But what about the long game? What does slow living look like, you know, over time?
That's a great question, because we're not just looking for quick fixes here, right? We want to know how this stuff can actually change our lives for the better in a lasting way.
Exactly. And one of the most significant long-term benefits is definitely in the mental health arena. Like by incorporating mindfulness, setting boundaries, prioritizing self-care, you're not just managing stress, you're building a foundation of resilience.
So it's not about eliminating stress altogether, because that's impossible, right?
Yeah.
But it's about changing how we relate to it.
Right, exactly. It's about moving from that chronic stress, always feeling overwhelmed, to a state of greater calm and ease. And that impacts everything else in your life.
What about relationships? We talked about being more present with loved ones, but how does that play out over time? Does it really make a difference in the long run?
Oh, absolutely. When you slow down, you're not just skimming the surface with people, you're building deeper connections. You become a better listener, more attuned to their needs, and you can really savor those moments together.
It's like we're building stronger bonds with each other just by being more present and intentional.
And as you cultivate those connections externally, something interesting happens internally. You become more self-aware. Like by slowing down and paying attention, you start to understand yourself on a deeper level.
It's like finally taking control of the steering wheel instead of just being on autopilot, you know?
Exactly. And that sense of being in the driver's seat, that's where the real empowerment comes from. It allows you to make choices that are truly in alignment with your values, and that leads to greater fulfillment.
This has been such a fascinating conversation. As we wrap up our deep dive on slow living, what's the one thing you really want our listeners to take away from all of this?
I think the most important thing to remember is that slow living is a journey, not a destination. It's a process of exploring, making small changes, finding what works for you.
It's not about reaching some perfect state of slowness, right? It's about making conscious choices each and every day to live more intentionally, savor the simple things.
Exactly. And remember, there's no one right way to do it. It's about finding your own rhythm, experimenting, and being kind to yourself along the way.
One of the things that's really stood out to me is how accessible this all is. You don't need to buy a bunch of stuff or go on some fancy retreat. to benefit from these principles.
So true. Even just one or two small changes can make a world of difference. Starting your day with a little mindfulness, really being present during meals, carving out some tech-free time.
So as we close out this deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with a little challenge. Think about one small area in your life where you could apply these principles this week.
Yeah, what would it look like to slow down in that area, to be more present, to choose quality over quantity?
What small act of intentionality can you bring into your life today? Remember, slow living isn't about deprivation. It's about enhancement. It's about reclaiming your time, your energy, your attention.
And using them to create a life that truly reflects what matters most to you.
So go forth, fellow deep divers, and embrace the power of slow. We'll see you next time for another insightful adventure.